Chapter 1, John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 42, continuing on with the words of Christ. We're going to look a lot about what John the Baptist is saying this morning, just to get in context as we are entering into the ministry of Christ, and we will finish with a few of his words here as he came back from the wilderness. So, this morning, the words of Christ return from the wilderness. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, says, "And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' And they said unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I am baptized with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.' And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.' And again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' He saith unto them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two, which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas,' which is, by interpretation, a stone." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for sending your Son and giving us an accurate and timely account of everything that went on, that he showed us his life, that he gave his life that we might come to you for salvation, for justification, for eternal life. We praise you for that, and as we open your word this morning, we pray that its truth might encourage us, might build us up, might cause us to follow you more. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, we find the first thing that Christ did when he came back from the wilderness was go back to Jordan. Now, some people are confused about this passage because of They view this as the account of John the Baptist, which it is John the Baptist's account, but as you read it, he is recounting what had happened 40 days previous to these Pharisees. If you look at everything that John says, it is in past tense. excuse me. We're going to briefly fly through this simply because it is a common misconception which messes up if you're trying to follow the life of Christ chronologically, you have to get this into perspective. So first of all, everything John says is in past tense here. Even when he says, behold the Lamb of God, I mean, that's right there, but as he's describing who this Lamb of God is, the credentials that he gives is in past tense. It's not talking about as Jesus is coming into the water or going out of the water. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now notice this, and I knew him not. So, at the time that John baptized Christ, he knew that he was someone special. He knew that he was his cousin. He knew about the birth of Christ being the virgin birth and all those things. But he did not know him as the Messiah, as the Holy One of God. That's kind of interesting to me, but that's what the Bible says. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And it says, well, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. So some will say, well, maybe John just didn't know the full scope of his ministry, didn't know when it would happen that he would be made manifest, because it says here, but that he should be made manifest. Well, here in verse 33 says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So John, as he was baptizing there in the Jordan River, he was looking for who the Spirit would be descending on. He did not fully know until that time when, as we looked at a couple weeks ago, Jesus came and said, suffer it to be so, for thus it behooveth to fulfill all righteousness. So John's like, hey, Jesus, I know who you are in who you have been. I don't need to be. You're a much more righteous teacher than me. You know way more about the scriptures than me. You have all these things. I need to be baptized of you. But up to that point, he did not know that Jesus would be the one that God's stamp of approval on was upon. Excuse me. That the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So here it is clearly past tense. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, for those who want to say that verses 19 through 28 are the day of baptism, and the next day John is sees Jesus coming and saying, behold the Lamb of God, they run into a problem with Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, and verse 12. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now, last time I checked, immediately doesn't mean the next day. Immediately, Jesus came up out of the water and went to the wilderness. The people that were standing around, they saw what went on, and they saw John and Jesus having this discussion in the water. And then Jesus gets up out of the water and he leaves. And they don't see him for 40 days. Now, you also can see that in back in John chapter 1, in verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. So Jesus has come back from the wilderness, and it appears that the first place he goes, if you try to fit in the rest of the days, it must have been earlier in the week, because by the time the Sabbath comes around, he is in the synagogue in Nazareth. So it must have been earlier in the week, and the first place that Jesus comes is standing on the banks of Jordan with everybody else. Now, I wonder, here John obviously knows now that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a young man with amazing scriptural knowledge. He's not just his cousin, but that is the Lamb of God. And Jesus is standing there among the Pharisees and all these people who have come out for the express purpose to say, John, are you the Christ? And John says, no, you don't know him, but he's standing among you. And notice that John doesn't point him out that day. Now, that's always caught my attention, that Jesus is standing among them. And John points him out the next day, but not that day. And I just wonder if this is just the very first, maybe this the very same day that Jesus came out of the wilderness. And he's been fasting for 40 days. He's not up to strength. He's just walked out of the wilderness, wherever that may have been. And maybe, this is my imagination, but maybe John's getting all ready to say, there's the Christ. And Jesus is saying, yeah, just quite really small, shaking his head. John, don't say anything. Just, that's enough, John. But then he comes the next day and somehow gives John the okay. Or John just isn't going to listen to him anymore. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. I'm going to say it quick before he gets too close to say no. And that part is a little bit of my imagination, but that's kind of how I see it, because it says one day Jesus is there among them. The next day, very specifically, the next day John sees Jesus and says, there's the Lamb of God. And you can't say that maybe he said that on Jesus' way out to the wilderness, because verse 35 says, again, the next day, so 2 days after this, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the day following, in verse 43, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And the third day, excuse me, which you can, some people will say, again, the next day of verse 35 is later on in the day of verse 29. Some people say that verse 1 of chapter 2 is later on, saying, and the third day, saying that verse 43 was the third day because there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. So whichever way you want to do that, I don't think it makes that big a difference. I'm not going to draw a line. But there it says specifically we have at least 3 days in a row. So it doesn't work with Mark chapter 1, verse 12, and immediately the Spirit drove him out of the wilderness. Jesus didn't do the miracle in Cana before he spent the time in the wilderness. I'm just trying to give you an overall picture of what happened as Christ came out of the wilderness. The first thing he did, and I find that interesting, the first thing he did was go back to Jordan. So John still, and this is why, John still gets to be not just the baptizer, but the one who literally introduces the ministry of Christ. And that is why. See, Christ's ministry didn't begin in activity at the baptism. He came and he was baptized, so his ministry in actuality began. But then the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. He spent those days fasting and praying. He spoke with the devil. And he comes back, and then John introduces his ministry. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet of Isaiah. I believe during those 40 days that Christ was in the wilderness, John's message changed. See, John was already ministering before Christ came to be baptized. And the Bible is clear right here that he is looking for the one whom the Spirit would descend upon. He saw that. And then Jesus is gone. But something changed with John. He says, my ministry, it's at the next level. What I'm here to do is going to happen now. I don't know where Jesus went, but it's going to happen now because I have seen the Spirit descending. So those 40 days while Jesus is gone, John's ministry, I believe, changed, became more vibrant, became more powerful. And that is why You see, in verse 19, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" Remember, John is up in Galilee. The Judeans think, those Galileans, those redneck backwoods nobodies. So to them, down in Jerusalem, it was no big deal that some guy is up in Galilee preaching some variation of our religion. Because if you read Jewish history, the Jews of Judea, and therefore Jerusalem, thought that the Galileans were lax in their religion. Thought that they didn't really have it right. Oh, yeah, they were still Jews, but, you know, they're like a step above the Samaritans. They're still Jews, but they're kind of out there. They actually did not think that the Galileans had the same view of Judaism as they did. But something changed enough in John's preaching, and it had power to where the leaders up in Galilee were sending messages down to Jerusalem saying, I know you guys think we're a bit different up here, but there's somebody who's way different, and he's getting a lot of attention. And he got enough attention to where the Jews at Jerusalem sent Jewish leaders, who normally wouldn't have left the temple complex, to go clear up to Galilee, where they really disdained, to see who this guy was. Okay, you're attracting crowds, you're getting people away, you're quoting the scriptures. Who are you? And it's when this happens that at the same time Christ comes out of the wilderness. So I believe John's ministry gained a lot in power and attention during those 40 days while Christ was in the wilderness. And I believe that this happened in this order, and Christ came first back to to Jordan, specifically for John to fulfill the prophecy in front of the highest Jewish leaders. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I'm not the prophet Isaiah, but this is what the prophet Isaiah said. And then the next day, these same leaders are there, still trying to figure this guy out. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, some people will still bring in Luke chapter 4. And just to get a full picture, we'll go there. Luke chapter 4. Now, this is where a lot of people will say that the first thing Jesus did was come out of the wilderness and go straight into Galilee. In Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, if you read this grammatically, he's not in the synagogue in Nazareth the first thing. Why? Jesus returned in this power of the Spirit into Galilee. Bethabara is in Galilee. Jordan is in Galilee. Cana is in Galilee. And Nazareth is in Galilee. All of these places were within a couple hours' walk of each other. Bethabara was 15 miles approximately from Nazareth. If you walk 3.5 miles an hour, which is the average human speed, that'd take you roughly 4 hours. You can do that there and back in a day. Jesus was going through all of Galilee. See this in verse 14. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Now, you cannot have Luke 4:14 before John 1, verse 26. I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. It doesn't work. Because there's a fame that's gone out of him throughout all of Galilee. You read through the Gospels, and when did fame of Christ spread? Every time he did a miracle. He hadn't done a miracle yet. So in Cana of Galilee when he does the first miracle, and it says there went out a fame of him. That is before Luke 4:14. So again, getting this into chronological context, these are the first few days of Jesus coming out of the wilderness. Now, that's enough of that. It's just a setting. It's just a bit of a Bible lesson to get an understanding of how things are going on here. But our series is about the words of Christ. Now, we don't know if Jesus spoke with John during these days. We don't know what he said to his family when he came back. Maybe people said, well, Jesus, where have you been? Because the Spirit immediately drove him out of the wilderness. So he got up out of the river and he was gone. Everybody's like, I mean, they were people too. Remember, Mary and Joseph spent 3 days looking through Jerusalem for him. So here everybody sees him. He's baptized in front of a crowd and then he's gone. Surely people were looking for him. but we're not told any of that. What we're told is either the day after or the next day after Christ has come back from the wilderness, John is standing with two of his disciples, and he says, again, behold the Lamb of God. And the disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It was late. Excuse me. So the two things that I want to look at Jesus saying today is, what seek ye? And come and see where I dwell. I want you to notice who he's speaking to. We have two men who have decided to be disciples of John. They have decided that Judaism under the law is about works, and they've been convicted of their need of repentance, and so they've been baptized of John. They've repented of their sins, and they're following him. They're disciples of him. They're trying to learn from him. They understand, I believe, if they're truly disciples of John, that they're looking for the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of Israel. Note that. The Savior of Israel. See, the Jews weren't looking for the Savior of the world. As you read through the Gospels, you'll see that again and again. They were looking for the Savior of Israel. Now, John, who has been teaching this, specifically tells two of his disciples now, that's the Lamb of God. That's the Messiah. That is the one that I've been telling you for the last 40 days. And these two men take John's advice and they follow Jesus, but they're not quite convinced yet. Jesus turned and saw them following, so they're just kind of following. They haven't said anything to him. Let's see what this guy's about. Let's see where he's going. Let's see who he is. Jesus knows they're following, so he turns. You ever follow somebody trying not to get their attention, and then they catch you? You're like, hi, you know? Or you wish you could shrink into the floor or something. So Jesus turns, and here's these two guys. Hi. And he says, what seek ye? What seek ye? He's like, Rabbi, where do you live? Now, this is actually an important question, because if they understood the prophets, the Messiah, there's qualifications for him, right? He would be born in where? Help me out. Bethlehem. Very good. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be of the house of who? David. We have the house of David. He says, you're the Messiah. Where do you live? Come and see. I think he went back to Nazareth, because it's Luke chapter 4 talks about he goes back to where he was from. If you see this, they get to where he lives late in the day, the 10th hour. It's about a four-hour walk from Bethabara. I think they went back to Nazareth. Now, that's, again, supposition, but I told you how I come to that conclusion. All that to say, these two guys come, they follow him, and you're from Nazareth? Wait a minute. This doesn't work. And how do I know that's what happened? Because one of the two you hear nothing of anymore. See that? There's two. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother. He says, hey, we found the Messiah. The other one says nothing. Has that ever caught your attention before? See, they were Jews. They were taught the law and the prophets. They were looking for the Savior of Israel to be from Bethlehem and the house of David. So he's got to be either from Bethlehem or Zion or Jerusalem. That is how they were looking for the Messiah. Jesus looks at them and says, what seek ye? Well, we're seeking for the Messiah, but we're looking for a qualification first. Where do you live? Where do you live? One didn't like the answer. But the other, that would be Andrew, saw something. Now, we don't know what it was. But he saw something, or he heard something from Christ, or he just believed John so thoroughly that he first findeth his own brother, Simon Peter, and says, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. There was no question in Andrew's mind. Everybody talks about in the Gospels how Peter's always the one that says, you are the Christ. But the first one to say that was Andrew. Peter, we found the Messiah. It's time. The Savior has come. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, I believe we can get a great lesson from these two disciples of John. Jesus asks us, disciples of the Word, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Well, they asked, where do you live? And Jesus was very willing to take them where he lived. I submit to you that I believe Jesus today, for you and I, wants us to ask, where do you live? Where do you live? Not as in an earthly house, because that's not what Jesus' ministry was about, but as in a spiritual place, as in a place of living. Your lifestyle, your life choices, your life actions. Jesus said, come and see where I dwell. The Bible is full of verses that Jesus says exactly that. He says, follow me, abide with me. He told the one man who wanted to be his disciple, he says, the foxes have holes, the birds their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that man said, can't do that. And he left. You see, this is another question and answer that is given throughout the ministry of Christ. Jesus says, come and see where I dwell. And dwell with me there. It's not always where we want to live. It's not where the first disciple wanted to live. I don't really think you're the Messiah. I don't think I can go for this religion of Galilee. You need it to be from Bethlehem. I thought we were going the other direction. How many times as Christians does God speak to our heart? We say, Lord, that's great and all, but I don't really want to go there. I like my Christian life the way it is. Oh, people think I'm a good Christian already. Why do I really need to change? Jesus, don't you know that I'm your disciple? Jesus knows you better than you. Jesus knows the followers, even when they weren't trying to be seen as following him. He turned and said, what seek ye? Jesus is asking us today and every day, what are you seeking? Are you seeking where I dwell? Because I will gladly show you where I dwell. I will gladly show you what the Christian life is about. I will gladly show you how to come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will gladly show you all these things that are written of me. Jesus wants to show us where he dwells. One disciple didn't like it. I believe he's a picture of a lot of Christians, or quote-unquote Christians, today. I don't really want to dwell there. I'd rather do church my way. I'd rather worship God on my own. Or as the common phrase is becoming, well, me and God, we got things figured out. I'm sorry. That means you're not where Jesus dwells. But Andrew said, we found the Messiah. I don't care if he's in some back room of a carpenter shop in Nazareth of Galilee. There's something about him. And he's the Messiah. Now, if you picture it as a four-hour walk from Bethabara back to Nazareth, and that his disciples are with him along the way, I am sure Jesus said more to them. I mean, you have two disciples that are trying to figure out if this guy is the Messiah. I'm sure he said more than, well, come on, come dwell at my place tonight. I'm sure he said more along the way. And something along that way, Andrew said, there's the Messiah, and I will be with him. Now, he's the disciple that we ought to be like. When we see Christ, when he's revealed to us through the word, through preaching, through testimony, through the encouragement of other Christians, we need to bow our heart and say, that's the Christ-like life. There is the life of Jesus. There is where he dwells. I want to be there. Not, I don't really see how that'll fit into my way. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Think about that, if you will. That's where Jesus wants you. He says, come and see where I dwell. I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. If you trust in me. His house is a house of peace. We see that through many, many scriptures. But here we have a promise. He wants us to dwell in a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that prevails when things are wrong around us, which we feel like a lot's going wrong around us, don't we? But he says, dwell in my house of peace. A peace in when there's times of hurt, times of trial, times of sickness. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. Come and see. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus said, I showed you the way. I want to bring you to heaven. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Come and see. Come and see where I dwell eternally. He's looking for the lost. He's looking for the saved to submit to him, to see where he dwells, not where we want to dwell, but where he dwells. And he calls us unto himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, what this verse tells us, it's different over there. Oh, it's easy to get caught up in this life. I've got to have this. And it's got to be this way for me to be comfortable. And I got to go pursue that so I can succeed. We get caught up. I'm no different. It's easy to get caught up in what we can attain in this life. But the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart. The best possible thing you can possibly imagine in this life is nothing like heaven. Nothing like heaven. I saw this article about Dubai this week. And, you know, the world's fanciest city. Everything is all glitz and glamour and gold and the best of technology. Just absolutely wonderful place. And this article was talking about how it's only skin deep. The people there are miserable. And it was really an interesting article because it looked at how miserable life is in this supposed perfect city. That is how the Christian's life is when we try to make our life perfect with the things of this earth. We might succeed, we might have all kinds of glitz and glamour, we might have everybody saying, oh, there's a successful Christian. But inside we're going, something's not right. Something's empty. Something's dirty. Something's vacant. Something's not quite the way that I know the Bible says for me to be. I tell you, the reason is because we're trying to take 1 Corinthians 2:9 and put it here, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and all these things pass away, and at some point all the elements will be burnt up with a fervent heat. Nothing here lasts. I think that's part of the thing with that first disciple, the first time we see. Now, it does not specifically say that he left Christ. But as you follow through these next few days, there is no further mention of him. The one we find talked about is Andrew. And I think that other disciple had this issue. If this guy is not from Bethlehem, and he's not from Jerusalem, and he's not from Zion, he's obviously not the physical Savior of Israel. I'm out of here. I want it my way. Andrew said, this is the Messiah. I don't fully understand it yet, but I will follow him. Jesus is saying the same to us. What do you seek? Will you come see where I dwell? The response is up to us. Will we say, nah, I'll follow you, but not like that? Or will we say with Andrew, telling people around us, come, we found the way, the truth, and the life that leads to the eternal Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that by his shed blood, his burial and resurrection, by the teaching of his life, you may draw all men to yourself. Lord, I pray that each one here, each one tuning in online, might be drawn closer to you, might come and see where you dwell, and choose with Andrew to dwell there with you in this life, that we may fully see the glories, the joys, and the rewards of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.